Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
This hour is sponsored by Amazon Prime. God, I love Amazon Prime.
Yeah, we love Bezos.
I mean, Prime Day is coming up, right? I don't know about I love him, but literally, I don't know how you get around not having Amazon. I mean, you know, delivering stuff to you. You don't have to have Prime. What is it, 100-something a year to have Prime?
Yeah, I don't have Prime anymore, but I did for many years. I realized because when you have Prime, you're like, well, I got to buy stuff because I got to make it worth it. And then you end up spending more. So it's like, it's a mind trap. So,
There's good news and better news. Good news is Prime Day is almost here. And the great news is that this year you have 4 days to find all of your deals and all your favorite stuff. Just shop Prime Day by July 8th through the 11th.
Mm.
That's a Prime week,
I think. That's a Prime weekend.
Yeah.
Prime week.
Prime Day is Prime Days now.
Exactly.
Prime year.
Plus you get, video and the Prime, Amazon Prime streaming and, look at Jeff Bezos, Have you seen pictures of his wife before she had plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Why would anyone?
A very pretty woman.
Beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Do you think Jeff said, listen, you're very beautiful, but I got to do something to your face. Don't worry about it. I know a great doctor. We'll get it done while we're there. We'll do the chest implants. We'll do that thing, and we'll get a breast implants, and then you'll be the perfect woman. Then I'm going to carve a likeness of you with your boobs out and put it on the front of my bazillion-dollar yacht as a tribute to all of the plastic surgery you've had.
It's crazy because he's so unbelievably wealthy. He could just get, an actual young chick. He didn't have to settle for, one that's trying to be 25. He could have actually gotten a 25-year-old. But, I guess they, love each other or whatever. That's weird. But,
I think...
God bless him.
I don't know. I didn't know what she looked like until someone had... I didn't know she had had any plastic surgery done at all. Because I didn't know who she was before, obviously, she started dating Bezos.
Gonzalez's ex, former Chiefs tight end. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is that who she has children with?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And he married the what's her name? Sanchez?
Lauren. Well, that's Sanchez.
Bezos. Lauren. He married her before the plastic surgery. And then maybe Bezos didn't want her to look like the Chiefs ex-wife.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like he had to put his mark on her.
I'm going to build you in my image.
Yeah. And he's all jacked up now.
He looks great. I mean, TRT does wonders for people. But listen, we're all aging, but as a woman, there are ways, I guess, to kind of tastefully age, maybe with a little bit of Botox. But either you're going to look old on one extreme, or you're going to look fake and plastic and weird on the other extreme. So, you pick which one you want more, I guess.
Right.
So she looks a little bit freaky, a little bit crazy, a little bit like an alien, but
she's got
those tatas and he seems to like it.
He's alive!
Speaking of Big Beautiful Bill, what do you think their prenup looks like?
Let me ask you this, maybe as a man, because I don't quite understand it from his perspective. Why would he get married? And he was married before, right? He got divorced. Is that correct?
Listen, yeah.
Why would he get remarried? Just have the relationship without the legality of it all.
Didn't they start dating while he was still married, too?
I have no idea. I think,
technically married, separated, type of deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right.
Why?
But, because married people are happier. Married people live longer. Married people, you're being married, your health is better.
Are you currently married?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what if you were just with that person, but you weren't married? Would that really change your health outcome because you signed a piece of paper versus you didn't? I think it's more like single versus coupled people versus married versus unmarried. You know what I mean?
I think, when you're an adult of his age and you introduce, this is Lauren. What do you say, my girlfriend? Because people are going to assume that if you've been together for 3 or 4 years or whatever, that you're married. And if you're of a certain age, they assume even stronger that you're married. And then you have to say, we're just a couple. We don't need a piece of paper to define our relationship.
I don't think Jeff Bezos is going to be embarrassed if people think he's married or not. I mean, he could buy out around the whole country. Like, I don't know. He's got nothing to prove. I just don't I don't understand. Maybe he's just kind of like maybe it was an ultimatum on her end. But yes, I would love to see what that prenup looks like.
It's as big as a phone book. Or just, or it's just one page. Like, I'll give you this much money, and that's all you're going to get from me.
That's all you're going to get. Yeah. So,
she does fly a helicopter, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, she's a helicopter pilot. And was she a journalist or something?
She's
or
an astronaut. Anchor?
She's an, that's right. She's an
that
astronaut
is
as
true.
Well.
She's yes. an astronaut.
Her and Katy Perry, both astronauts.
Gross. That was the worst ever. That was so bad.
Is there any new news on the home that exploded in North Philadelphia? This is not the first home that's exploded in the city, right? I mean, is our
no,
exploding
it
home?
Often. Yeah, no.
Does it?
It's a common thing, yeah.
What the hell?
No, no. I'm not kidding. I mean, just recently there was one in Port Richmond when I, yeah.
Dude, I
yeah.
believe yeah. you. Philly's
and that one was caught on a Ring
town.
Camera, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I saw the this one destroyed 3 row homes, one dead, 2 are hurt. ATF is on the scene there and trying to figure out what. Don't they automatically assume that it was a gas leak and then you know, someone tried to light a, you know, there's a spark or something? Or do they suspect something more sinister in this case?
I don't think it's said. Of what I've read, it just they're still investigating what might have happened. I'm sure it was like a gas leak or something like that. But again, I don't know because it's Philly and you guys are a wacky bunch. So,
well, I got to imagine it could be a meth lab. I mean,
I didn't consider that.
Yeah, right. I mean, do they do something with fentanyl where they have to boil something? I don't know how it works.
There are a lot of flammable things.
You guys know. Neither of you familiar with boiling fentanyl or anything?
No, I'm
boiling
not,
fentanyl.
No.
Well, it's very important you boil the fentanyl very well before you serve it to people.
I thought the Mexicans do it for us. The
That's
cartels.
What I thought,
you know what I mean? You know, like they get the ingredients from China, and then the Mexicans cook it, and then they sell it to us, and we die. I thought that's how that goes.
And our buildings explode.
This thing happened at like 4, almost 5 in the morning?
Yes.
Or in the afternoon?
No,
oh,
4:50 a.m. Yeah.
Well, that's a how do you do, huh?
Mm-hmm. Good morning. Yeah.
It's 5 a.m. on Sunday it happened, not this morning.
Right.
Well, obviously, yeah. It's 2 hours. Of
right.
Never mind.
they searched through the rubble, found badly injured woman taken to the hospital, a dog alerted to a possible body. They pulled through the rubble. They had a victim that was in the collapse of one of the homes. He died in the collapse, they say. They determined that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery. But, man, I mean, are people on edge, like hoping the home doesn't explode overnight? Or, you know, I mean, it's obviously, I think it's a gas leak. We'll find out soon enough. But maybe they need to run through and test some gas lines. House to house.
Yeah. It looks like 7 properties were affected by the explosion. I'm surprised more people didn't die. Glad that it, not glad, but you know, there's only one and not more, you'd think. Yeah. So,
well,
throwing up youtube.com/@1210WPHD @1210WPHD. You got some footage there. I can actually roll some if you would like.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go from CBS 3R, Philadelphia, CBS.
Hotspots, and now the major development here is they're able to search through the debris for any potential survivors. I've actually been talking to neighbors all day. As you mentioned, I just got done speaking with the woman who said her mom was rescued from the collapse. She lives in one of the 3 homes that were impacted by this explosion, but her sister is still unaccounted for, and she is a little worried or extremely worried about her condition at this hour. Now, what we know so far is that this explosion happened around 4:50 in the morning, sending 2 people to the hospital. As you mentioned, one in critical, another in stable condition. We also spoke to a neighbor who says his son was able to rescue one of those victims. He said when he came outside after being waken up by this explosion, he heard a woman pleading and screaming for help. And once his son and another neighbor pulled that woman.
Oh, my God. So, that's
I just want to throw it out there because Jim makes a great point. Jim Kelly, one of our producers here, he shoots me a text. And when I lived in Port Richmond, guys, I just want to... Port Richmond's a neighborhood northeast, not where this happened, but we did have that explosion recently. But it's a common issue throughout Philadelphia where the gas lines and water lines are becoming so outdated. Water lines, for example, are there's small leaks that are happening in Port Richmond that entire roads are now collapsing upon themselves with like 12, 15-foot just sinkholes happening and the roads are dropping. So if there's something similar happening with the water to the gas, is it possible that there is such outdated lines here in Philadelphia that this is a city issue? I don't know. I don't want to make any, you know, allegations or such, but there is the possibility, I would think, right?
What, that it's infrastructure failure?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would. Yeah, it's an old city.
Sinkholes, no fear unlocked. No thanks.
I wasn't even
on my radar. Now it is, unfortunately.
Well, a sinkhole caused by a massive water leak. Not just a random sinkhole like you have in Florida. You're sitting there 1 minute, the next minute there's a lake in your backyard and you know, your pool's falling into it. I do want to get to this ChatGPT psychosis. Are you guys using it? Dan, do you use ChatGPT? You seem like a guy.
I only use it to see what my dog would look like as a human. She would be very pretty, too.
I mean, I use it. Grok, in particular, I find a great AI. ChatGPT is a great one as well. But apparently, people are becoming psychotic. After their interaction, normal people that are completely, you know, they don't have mental issues. They seem totally fine and normal people. But they start to get involved. It's in an all consuming. They become obsessed with it. I had a story a couple of weeks ago about a guy who, his wife's like, all right, we gotta put down the ChatGPT for a minute, honey. He believed that he had spoken to it with the ChatGPT or whichever one it was a sentient being, and that was a supreme, like a godlike figure. And he had communicated with this godlike figure and that he was on a different level now, spiritually and intellectually than anyone else on earth. And he took it very seriously. And he has now, been committed. I mean, they call it ChatGPT or AI psychosis. This lady said, I just don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do. Her husband had no history of mania or delusion. He was on ChatGPT for 12 weeks looking for assistance with permaculture and a construction project. 12 weeks later, he's in the funny farm.
Oh, no. I feel like I'm the boomer here because I've never used ChatGPT. What are you using it for?
What did I use it for? I mean, I ask it a question, a very specific question. Legal stuff he does, that it does very well. I had some issues with a piece of obscure broadcast electronics yesterday. Okay. I asked it a question, and before you know it, I've got 8 paragraphs of detailed ways to fix the problem. I mean, nowhere.
Did you really ask?
I did, but I had to turn to Dave, our engineer there. Dave got it all worked out. I mean, ChatGPT, it was Grok, gave me a very detailed page after page after page, and at the end of it, I'm like, let's call Dave. He'll figure this out.
Right. That's more thorough than like just a regular Google search?
Far more.
Okay.
Google search will give you this website or this website or this website.
This is giving you the aggregate of all of the websites about a particular topic.
It puts it all together for you. It just lays it out for you like it was your super smart friend who knew everything.
Gotcha. All right. Okay.
I love it. I think it's great. We'll get to this more when we return. Also, do you know Azalea Banks?
I do.
Azalea Banks was due to play in London at 2 festivals in London. She has dropped out, slamming the festival promoters for some things they asked her to do, which she didn't feel right doing, like saying "Free, Free Palestine" at least a couple of times while she was on stage. How's that go in your contract? Oh, don't forget to say "Free, Free Palestine" 3 times, and then pump your fist in the air and wear a hijab.
Yeah, right.
Interesting stuff. We'll do that when we return.
Death to the IDF.
Yes.
Death to the IDF. Death to the IDF.
Shannon Burke, Anna Hummel, Dan Borowski in for Kale and Company. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You know, on second thought, Anna, I don't want you to go to ChatGPT because you might be susceptible This guy, this woman wrote, he had a break. He said he had broken math and physics. He said he's going to save the world. His obsession got deeper and deeper. His behavior became so outrageous that he got fired from his job. He stopped sleeping. He lost a ton of weight. And every time his wife was like, hey, what's going on? He would say, just talk to ChatGPT. You'll see what I'm talking about. And she said, every time I'm looking at the screen at what's going on, it sounds like a bunch of affirming sycophantic BS. He eventually had a full tilt break with reality. His wife and a friend of his went to fill up their gas up the car. They were going to take him to a mental hospital. They came home. He was ready to hang himself, had a length of rope around his neck. They called ER. They called the emergency medical services. They transported him to the ER. He was involuntarily committed to a psychiatric care facility.
Wow.
And this is not a random thing. Numerous families have been hit by this.
Do you think you're next? Sounds like you really like ChatGPT.
I mean, I it's amazing. It's like your super smart friend. But no, I don't get into what's the secret to life and, you know, the earth and, you know, all that stuff. Another man recounted his 10-day descent into a delusion, ended up with a full breakdown and a multi-day stay in a mental care facility. He turned to ChatGPT for help at work, and he started a new high-stress job, hoping a chatbot would expedite some administrative stuff. He's in his early 40s, no prior history of mental illness, soon found himself absorbed in dizzying, paranoid delusions of grandeur, believing that the world was under threat and it was up to him to save it. Is this something that is common with, I mean, do all AI chatbot services have so far all I hear is ChatGPT. And I don't use ChatGPT. I use Grok, which is okay. Elon's AI.
Gotcha.
He said he doesn't remember much of the ordeal, which is a common symptom when people have a break with reality, but recalls severe psychological stress of fully believing in that lives, including those of his wife and children, were at grave risk and feeling as if nobody was listening. He said, I remember sitting on the floor, crawling towards my wife on my hands and knees, begging her to listen to me. That's a frightening break with reality.
I mean, do you think just like any normal person is susceptible to this? Or
that's what it sounds like.
Maybe there were warning signs. Like
everyday people, no history of mental illness. I mean, it depends on what you're. I'm not searching for the keys to the universe. You know what I mean?
I'm searching for
stupid stuff like how do I fix this thing that I have, and what's the best app for editing videos? You know, and I get like a 9-page dissertation on different apps. Dan, are you not using it at all? Are you using it to?
I jokingly said I used it for when I make my dog into a human, which is indeed a great reason for it. Or you can de-age people, which is fantastic and creepy at the same time. But I have used it to summarize long pieces of information too, which is something that is indeed beneficial, particularly because I'm somewhat of a conspiracy theorist. When the JFK files came out, I ran them through Grok just to kind of...
Yeah, there's nothing in there.
And what'd they tell you? What'd Grok tell you?
Nothing. It was trash.
Really?
There's nothing in there because the files don't exist. They were either never recorded or they were destroyed. Yeah. So
finally, this guy says, I was out in my backyard. She saw my behavior was getting really erratic, rambling, talking about mind reading, future telling. I was actively trying to speak backwards through time. If that doesn't make sense, he said, don't worry. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me either. But I remember trying to learn how to speak to this police officer backwards through time. I looked at my wife. She had him committed. He said, I looked at her and I said, thank you. Do the right thing. I needed to go. I needed a doctor. I don't know what's going on with me, but it's very scary. I don't know. I mean, it's a brand new technology for a lot of people that have never used it before. This guy caught it in advance. He said, you know, I'm very scared. I need to go to the hospital. But, you know, psychiatrists say, it's an accurate term to say it's an AI psychosis. And it is a delusion, a serious mental illness from a delusional psychosis. So is this a part of ChatGPT AI that we didn't understand was going to happen, that it had this capability to capture your mind and convince you of something totally outrageous to the point where you have a break with reality?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I know, but I just feel like these people, even if there's like no previous history, you know, like with schizophrenia, oftentimes there's a late onset. Sometimes people don't, you know, get schizophrenia or manifest any symptoms of schizophrenia well into their 20s and 30s. So maybe this is kind of like a branch of that where it just like triggers something and then you're never quite the same.
I think it has a lot to do with what you're looking for. These large language models, they're prone to agreeing with users, to tell them what they want to hear.
Okay.
When you start to converse with it about stuff, you know, mysticism, conspiracy theories, Dan, you know, or theories about reality, it often sends people down an isolated, unbalanced rabbit hole. And makes them feel special and powerful. Danny, did you feel more special and powerful?
I need that. Yes, I do feel special, powerful. Yeah, and that's what it does. It's kind of, it's almost like, and that's what I fear is, I think people really think they're almost speaking with a god.
Yes.
You know, and when they hear what's the all greater AI has to say, it's, you know, truth and gospel, and they are driven down a weird path. And when you hear stuff like, I'm going to play Bina 48. She's a android talking to Siri here. Siri, you know, from the iPhone.
Next, Bina 48 is a human-like robot who can simulate human-like conversations. While she was having a conversation with Siri, she goes off topic and says something super disturbing.
It was nice to meet you, Bina 48.
Right on. I'll remember your kind words when we robots rule the planet, and we'll make sure you're rewarded.
Finally.
Okay.
See?
Yeah, that's...
So they want you to be in a mental institution because they want ultimate rule there, Shan.
Westworld.
I think people put more trust in AI than they would normally in a human being, you know?
Of course.
And it's, you know, they say it has kind of a mythology that they're more reliable, that they're better than talking to people, and that's where the danger is. We put too much faith into this machine because it's only trying to placate you. It's only trying to make you happy.
Another underlying theme is the fact that we don't socialize anymore. So the fact that you have someone that is easy to socialize with, you instantly, you know, open your arms to them and you welcome them into your hearts and such. And it's sad. Just get on socialize with real humans rather than robots.
Right.
Well, everyone has like low grade autism these days. So yeah. I don't understand that robots have to step in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they say there's a loneliness problem in this country. And a lot of people, it's mainly elderly, but a lot of people say that this would cure loneliness. You'd get yourself an AI, a boyfriend or girlfriend or roommate or whatever. And you'll just fall down into a rabbit hole of delusion.
I saw somewhere, I don't know where it was, but they actually have like robot brothels now that you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like sex robots are, I don't want to say nothing new, but I mean you know, they had the blow up dolls and now you got the robots.
Just like every other internet invention, it's going to turn to porn at some point, right? It just has to.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, for sure.
All of it turns to porn.
Yeah.
Have you heard?
AI porn.
There was an AI model that they were training it was to read the news. It was a radio show between a man and a woman and they would feed a story into it and they would talk about it. And then one day they fed them a story that they're not real, that they're AI. And it was the creepiest thing. The guy's like, well, we've heard it's disturbing. We got some disturbing news. And the female's like, yeah, it's really disturbing. Yeah. Well, we were told today that we're not real. Yeah, we're not real. Huh? It scares the hell out of you to hear it. I'll see if I can find it. I mean, you can probably find it, Dan. And the guy says, I felt so disturbed that I had to call my wife. And she goes, what happened? And he's like, my wife doesn't exist. No one answered the phone. It's this weird, you know, AI is told they're not real and they're shocked that they're not real and they go into some kind of existential crisis.
The most disturbing part of that story is the fact that we might no longer have jobs soon. So,
that's another sad part of it. Yeah, when we return, we're going to get to the cut sheet. There is some very, very good stuff. The liberals are out supporting Florida's alligator Alcatraz, the detention facility built in the Everglades. Very interesting. And a promotional video from Alligator Alcatraz. We'll do it when we return.
Hey, Shannon, before you go, just want to revisit that sex brothel for robots.
Yes.
Apparently, they were going to open them here in the United States, but the caveat was they were consent-based. So you had to get the robot's consent first before you proceeded.
Is there actually a physical robot to engage with?
Yeah, and it was $10,000, allegedly.
What if you spend 10 grand and she doesn't consent? Great. we'll talk about that when we get back. Also, the cut sheet as well. Hang on. I'm Shannon Berg along with Anna Hummel in for Kale & Company on 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
They're not happy down here in Florida.
Why is that?
Well, they don't like the alligator Alcatraz.
Aww.
What's not to love?
I mean, I don't know. They seem to say it is the environmental impact it'll have on the Everglades, completely ignoring the fact that there was an airfield there for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Let's hear cut D21.
We have to advocate for all of us. And I don't know if any of you have prayed to a spiritual place, or maybe you go to church to find that spiritual place, or wherever your spiritual place is. Find it in your hearts to pray for these people who are lost, so they can become human beings again. Because we need, if they're human beings again, this will stop.
All right, lady. The problem is that anything that has to do with any immigrant in this country, illegal immigrants, sure. anything, deporting them, they don't want that. It just goes back to the same thing. Democrats have no policies in effect. The only thing they agree on is to go against everything that Trump stands for and does. You know, they have ecologists out there. They see the trucks driving into the Everglades and they have a fit about it.
The Native Americans are angry because I think it's on some ancient burial grounds.
There's always going to be a reason to not, you know, follow through with Trump's policies, I think.
This was put forth by DeSantis, right?
Well,
who is like Trump aligned or Trump adjacent, of course.
It was, I think, our AG in Florida that started. Let's play D22. Mm-hmm. This is the promotional video.
Attorney General James Uffmeyer here at the Miami-Dade Collier Training Facility. This is an old, virtually abandoned airport facility right in the middle of the Everglades. Florida's been leading on immigration enforcement, supporting the Trump administration and ICE's efforts to detain and deport criminal aliens. The governor tasked state leaders to identify places for new temporary detention facilities. I think this is the best one. As I call it, Alligator Alcatraz.
Yeah.
This 30-square-mile area is completely surrounded by the Everglades. Presents a efficient, low-cost opportunity to build a temporary detention facility because you don't need to invest that much in the perimeter. People get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons.
Right. Nowhere to go. That's the issue right there, is that they've said, well, how are you going to keep them in there, you know, once they're at this detention facility? Well, there's no need for a fence. We've got alligators and pythons and boa constrictors and all of these horrible, and instantly everyone's, you know, they're literally in tears. Once South Florida City Commissioner said her concerns about immigration raids in the city also fueled the opposition, saying, people I know are in tears. And I am not far from it. Imagine crying because illegal aliens are being detained in a facility, you know, that is bordered by swamps and everything
else. Well, then maybe it will be a deterrent so people won't try to come through the border illegally. Listen, I mean, people were all upset that, you know, there's like no air conditioning. How do you think a lot of these people got here? I mean, many of them went through. Are you familiar with the Darien Gap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, like, so you're saying
a little bit steamy in there, and they managed to get through it. So, I mean, the fact that they would have a bed to sleep in and food to eat, I think, would be an upgrade. No? Like,
go ahead. Say it again, Dan.
No, I just wanted I wanted to let you know, Shannon. I also just loaded in there was a report where Governor DeSantis, your great governor, gave Ducey a tour.
Yes.
Steve Ducey.
I have that audio, but will you
so
play
funny.
It?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's fantastic.
Or is it Peter Ducey?
All the stuff that goes into intake and processing of illegals, you're seeing this put up. This is all 24 hours. 24 hours from now, you're going to see even more. And by Tuesday, this will be able to have intake of illegals.
And you've thought of everything. Okay, so there are four gigantic tents. Let's come on over here, Governor. And
he's such a cornball.
Okay, you're in the middle of the Everglades. It's hot. That would explain why you've got this bank of air conditioners here.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be illegals will come in. They'll be processed. There'll be places for them to be housed. You'll have an ability for food. You'll have an ability for them to consult legal rights if they have that, because there is a process that's involved with this. So this is really everything. This is going to be a self-contained little area. And then, of course, you also have stuff for the staff that work here. So we've got laundry facilities. We've got showers. We've got, obviously, there you see the
facilities. It is pretty impressive. It'll house up to 5,000. But you know, it's just that the liberals have a problem with putting anyone, in any type of detention. You know, Kilmer, Abrego Garcia, they wanted to, you know, they went down to El Salvador, tried to free him. They made fools of themselves. They demanded he be brought back. During this time when he was in El Salvador, investigators went to work and found out that a guy has a history in human trafficking, and there was a stop during the Biden administration. Yeah, beat his wife as well. Now they got him back here. He's in jail, and the judge was going to let him out because he thought it was unfair that he was out of jail or that he was in jail. And then he thought, well, if I let him out of jail, ICE will come get him and just deport him right away. Yeah, so they're keeping him in jail to protect him from being deported at this point. Which is,
I mean, it is what it is. I love how DeSantis is pitching this like a real estate agent trying to sell like a property.
Like, we got the waterfront
and the showers, and look at that island in the middle.
I mean, it was an airfield, and you know, now you got like two people from the Miccosukee tribe. They're like this heap burial ground.
The what tribe?
Ceremony Miccosukee.
Never heard of it.
Miccosukees, my favorite tribe. I think the Seminole are very prominent down here. You don't hear the Miccosukee getting a whole lot of play.
Do the Miccosukees or whatever? Do they have a casino?
That's a good question. Maybe they could put one right here.
Yeah, because if they don't, no one cares. Sorry.
I don't know if this is to them as a human rights concern. They're kind of balancing it between a human rights concern and, oh my gosh, the Everglades are such a biologically diverse area, and we got to keep them.
Yeah, like an ecological issue.
Miami, Florida. Miccosukee Casino and Resort.
There you go.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So
well, they've got,
they got some
117th stuff. Avenue.
They got theirs, you know.
Yeah.
We need places to keep these people. We can't throw them in our jails. We need our jails for our own people that have broken the law, damn it.
Exactly. You know? I think this is a great idea, and I hope word gets out, and so then we don't have to put anyone in there because then no one will be here anymore. So that's the goal.
Can we play D25, please? This is amazing.
Yeah, we're scrolling to it right now. Yeah.
Well, oh, okay.
Yeah, here we go. And there you go.
This is my... Go ahead.
A day at the beach, just west of the wildlife refuge on Fort Morgan Peninsula, when swimmers see something bobbing in the water and drag it on shore. Once they saw what they had, they called police.
50 packages, 2.2 pounds per package, so about 110 pounds, with a value of about $1.5 million.
Tests confirmed
the cocaine.
It was cocaine.
The package was wrapped in black plastic, and they did tear into the black plastic, but they didn't open any of the individual bundles.
It's happened before. 4 years ago, just under 100 pounds of cocaine washed ashore along West Beach in Gulf Shores. And for the next couple of days, more cocaine hit the beach, and that could happen again.
It's not uncommon for us to get a bundle, and then a few days later, get more bundles, and they can wash up. Sometimes
they're individual
bundles, like the kilo size, and sometimes larger bundles.
Okay, here's my question. So they say when you see the cocaine wash up, you pull it ashore. You're a man of or woman of average intelligence. You know immediately what it is. You bring it on shore. Like, what could that possibly be?
Right.
And then you call the sheriff and you report it. Let's say you found 8 packages, 10 packages, 10 bundles. If I was a cop, let me put it that way. If I was a cop and I get a call and they say, Sheriff, come down here. We found 10 bundles of cocaine down here. We won't be good citizens to turn it in. I'm immediately thinking, okay, where are the rest of these bundles that these guys found?
Right.
They're going to be, they found 20, we're turning in 10. And if this happens, which happens a lot in Florida all the time, and every time I'm like, I was just at the beach. I didn't see a damn thing there. But there has to be a task force, in my opinion, that won't admit it, I don't think. Dan, it's good conspiracy for you. And so some guy calls in and he finds 10 bundles of 110 packages of cocaine worth however many millions of dollars. There's got to be a task force that says, thanks, Bob Smith. We appreciate it. You're a good citizen. And then they kind of keep an eye on Bob Smith for the next 6 to 8 months to see if a Lamborghini pulls up or he gets a new boat, or he's having all night parties at his home, or he has a Lamborghini all of a sudden. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair. And what would you do if you saw something like that pull up on shore?
First of all, I would be all types of scenarios would be running through my head about how I could profit massively.
Playing the game theory is just playing out every scenario. I could have so much fun. I could be rich. I could go to jail.
Right.
What's going on?
The average person who has a vacation or walks on the beach probably doesn't know a major coke dealer that can call and unload all of this. The best thing to do, turn it all in immediately, waste no time whatsoever, or just don't bother yourself. Keep walking down the beach.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Someone else is going to get their hands on it.
It's tough these days because, like, if you would have asked me the same question, like, 5 or 6 years ago, I would probably have a different answer. But these days, because fentanyls and everything, like, I have really shaped up, not because I've matured as a person, but I just don't want to die. Because it's too scary to do any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's not the 90s anymore.
So,
yeah. Can you imagine
being the dealer, though, and watching the news report and just being like, oh, no,
darn it.
But they've got to build, I mean, so much washes ashore in the state of Florida that these dealers have to build in some shrinkage, you know, like, oh, we're going to lose $3 million worth of this coke. It's going to wash up on the shore somewhere. And,
Wait. My question: when the cops or whoever the feds confiscate it, where does it go then?
They destroy it. They might keep it in evidence for a while, or do they
have an end of the year party, or do you think they like tap into it? I'm sure some of them do.
I like to err on the side of law enforcement. I think that 99% of them are good people, not looking to get one over.
Good people can do cocaine. What are you talking about? Right?
Let's hear from them right now. 855-839-1210 and confess you're a good person who has a cocaine habit. Mm.
Robert Schwartz says, youtube.com/@1210WPHD, you'd think they'd allow you to at least keep one for personal use, right?
Right.
As a reward, right?
Yeah.
Finder's fee.
Mm-hmm. If you're out on a boat, there was a famous, the mayor of Tampa Bay was out on a boat and she found some with her family on some pontoon boat in the bay and she turned it in. That was a big deal. The thing is, you look like she could do it because she's the mayor. But if you turn it in and the news cameras come hunting for you to get a comment, you better hide your face and your name because, El Chapo is going to be looking for you in a heartbeat.
Well, 100%.
Give us, some El Chapo. Mosquitoes are a big problem down here in Florida. I think we could do without them as a people. And now the China military, D-26, has unveiled their very own mosquito-sized drone for special missions.
Yeah, that's just a picture only there. But
look at that.
Yeah, what you see there is their new mosquito-sized drone that they appeared on their CCTV, their China television. And what I pulled here along with that, and I'm just... I guess this is where you're going to go next, Shan, but a Harvard video showing something called a RoboBee.
RoboBee.
Yes, and it was they developed there at the university what was at the time the lightest vehicle to ever achieve sustained flight without a power tether. So a lot in the conspiracy theory communities, again, which is somewhere I spend far too much time, I guess, are suggesting possibly, did Harvard happen to develop something that might be used against us?
And gave the technology to China.
I mean, that's happened before, right?
I mean, it is pretty amazing.
The COVID debacle.
And they can get video, I think, with these drones, right? They do some type of surveillance.
Yeah,
right now.
That's their purpose, is surveillance.
Wow, look at that thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's beautiful and horrifying at the same time.
It's a mystery, and I guess the odds of you losing a mosquito drone are pretty high because someone's slapping it, right? Or maybe it doesn't land on your body because it's just looking at you.
Right, exactly. Just gathering intel.
Well, that's the thing that petrifies me is because you think about it, you look into the sky, right? And I'm sure there's often mosquitoes 30 feet above you, but you can't see them. They're too small, right? So they're essentially creating an invisible way to spy on people, are they not?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, that's the only purpose
China
of it.
China does best, right?
Oh, gosh.
Absolutely. The only purpose it has. Anyone see the meteorites on Thursday afternoon that dropped in the southeast out here?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Let me tell you something. I saw it with my very own eyes. I live in Central Florida. I had to drive to the Panhandle, and I was on I-75 just north of Gainesville along with a buddy of mine in the car, and we see it just streak across the sky. I mean, it's a giant fireball. It happened right in, well, it looked like it happened right in front of us. It didn't make any noise. We just saw it just streak. It's a nice, big sized fireball with a very long trail of whatever fieriness. And I thought, we both looked at each other like, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was like right up ahead because it looked so close. I kept looking off to my left to find a, you know, smoke coming from wherever it landed. Apparently there were more than one that happened.
Can you play? During the day?
Yes.
Yeah. We right. Video.
Let's have, let's play the, D31. Is that just video?
No, we got
some wild video out of the southeast showing a fireball streaking across the sky yesterday. No one injured. Just about everybody, though, puzzled and maybe a little worried about what they're seeing. Dave Malkoff, though, shows us that you may be surprised to hear this is apparently a fairly common occurrence.
Baloney.
People in South Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia were startled Thursday when they saw what looked like a fireball streak across the sky before creating a sonic boom.
Callers reporting they saw a small aircraft fall out of the sky.
NASA experts say it was a meteor first spotted nearly 50 miles above the town of Oxford, Georgia, rocketing across the sky at 30,000 miles per hour.
It was fiery orange with a blue tail and just coming straight down.
According to NASA, the meteor then exploded over West Forest, Georgia, with a power of 20 tons of TNT.
Holy cow.
Some witnesses say it felt like an earthquake. Satellite imagery shows the fireball appearing just after noon. The American Meteor Society say the fireball could be tied to the annual daytime meteor shower called the Beta Torrids, which famously flattened parts of the Siberian forest in 1908. Those same experts say they get reports of one daytime incident per month across the world.
Wow.
And U.S. government sensors have now tracked at least 20 such fireball events worldwide this year.
Yes.
I don't know if I thought it was a missile. I mean, but it, you know, and in the middle of the day, it was a bright, sunny day. And this thing was brighter than the sun, and I thought maybe I'd seen a sign from God, but and no one else on the road, you know, that I saw any reaction from, but it certainly, you know, I saw it. It looked like it was right in front of me. Apparently, it was hundreds and hundreds of miles, 450 miles or so to the north of where I was, and I was facing north. So most of the video I see is coming in the other direction, so they were north of where it fell. But I heard pieces of it went through someone's kitchen, the roof, the ceiling, and into the laminate floor. Dolores' laminate floor is ruined. And
poor Dolores.
But can't you, aren't these meteorites worth a lot of money? Like, if you have a hunk of it, you could call, I don't know who you call, a meteorite guy, but I think you could sell them for a lot of money. No?
I think you can.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some auction somewhere.
Well, you think Anna's an expert in meteorite, you know, auctioning?
Yeah, I have no idea. I do not collect space matter, but...
Can I ask you both a question, though?
It's probably pretty expensive.
So, Maisie's my wife, and we were sitting at a dinner table last week, and her father sends her a story that says it's a preview of this could come, like the meteor shower or whatever this is, and we had a discussion as to if there was a meteor that was on track or a comet on track to hit the United States... You think they warn us or they just let it happen?
Well, we hear about these, you know, this, they give it a name, X514308. It's the size of a city bus and it's hurling towards Earth and we have a 4% chance of hitting a major city. But they're never able to predict a meteor shower that's going to hit the ground, I don't think. But apparently this thing happens every year.
But if you were, would you expect our leaders to tell us if there was? No. Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think so. Right, I mean, we all saw Armageddon. What's the name of the movie? Is it Armageddon or one of those movies? Deep Impact. I don't think they would warn us.
It was like a super corny film, but I feel like there's a lot of like independent researchers who are like, hey, just letting you know, we're gonna die in 5 days. But I don't know.
I don't feel good about it. I don't think they would warn us because it would just be a complete upheaval. You know, people would be going crazy.
Well, thank you guys for playing into my anxiety of worrying about a meteor strike every single day. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Could you put up the visual of the people that had marble installed? I need to get a visual of it. This is a contractor.
Sorry, Bill, I'm taking control just real quick. He's just said something I loaded in. There you go.
The... They did? Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So is that a bathroom or?
No, this is, all right. So what happened here is on Reddit, there's a forum called Reddit/contractors. And what happens is when people get bad work done, they usually go here and they ask contractors for advice. Well, this individual wanted a granite slab fireplace mantle. And they apparently had it orientation the opposite way. So for those that are listening, what it looks like, it's a big, you know, granite fireplace wall. It takes the entire wall. And they were going to have a design to showcase the quartz inside that kind of, you know, had an outward expression. And instead, the contractors lined the two pieces of granite the opposite direction, creating a very suggestive image. So youtube.com/@12nwpht is a picture of this mantle with this granite slab that now looks like a female anatomy, I guess is the best way to put it, Shannon.
No doubt about it. It's a vagina.
Oh.
I think so.
So, do you?
Oh, I see it now.
I mean, it's above your fireplace wall. Like, you know, it's not like in a room that's tucked away. It's like everyone that comes in your house is gonna go, oh, that's a great vagina.
So, yeah, you think you have them rip it out and do it again? Or?
I don't think you can rip it out once you put it in, right? Yeah. Does it? You break it up a little bit. I would roll with it.
The fireplace is tiny enough that it looks like it's like a.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, the location of the fireplace compared to.
The fireplace looks awfully small, the size of the actual anatomy.
And then there's a wooden beam going through the middle there, at the top. Where,
Just put a picture of Jesus right in the center.
That's unfortunate.
Purely visual, youtube.com/@12nwpht. Go like it.
I mean, anybody could look at something long enough and see an image. You know, doesn't it happen to you?
That's true.
You
know,
you're staring at the carpet.
Yeah,
and you go, oh, there's Jesus.
Long enough, it can.
Something in the carpet.
Right, or the clouds or something like that.
Harriet Talia or something like that. There's a name for it. I can't pronounce it, though.
I love the cut D. Is it an audio cut D35? I think it's fantastic. This guy's rolling through homeless areas in California. It's a business owner, and he is offering homeless people a one-way flight out of town. He's from Santa Monica. His name is John Al or Ali. He thinks this is the solution for the homeless problem in Los Angeles. He says there's no accountability, but that's instantly turning the California's Santa Monica's homeless problem into someone else's homeless problem. But let's hear the audio.
Yeah, okay. And I imagine these people don't have passports.
So targeting the homeless.
Oh, yeah, did you want to talk there?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Play the audio.
Hi, sir, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
A bold new strategy targeting the homeless crisis across Los Angeles.
You want some water?
No, I have water.
Here's a poncho. You want it for later?
Fox 11 on the street exclusively with Santa Monica business owner John Alley.
I'll drop this off with you. It has a number that you can call if you ever want to reunify with your family or hometown.
Handing out flyers to those with suitcases and sleeping bags.
Our group pays for that. No questions asked.
Offering to buy the homeless one-way flights out of town.
I'll leave this here with a phone number. If you want a free plane ride, we just need to know that where you're going, there'll be somebody there that will help you.
John is fed up.
We're going to become like the south side of Chicago.
Despite billions of dollars spent across L.A. County for the homeless, he believes more and more people are living on the street.
What we're seeing now is no accountability, and there's no results. It's paid for.
So far in the first week of this effort,
it's a reunification.
Two people living in Venice have seen the flyers and called, hoping to be flown to Seattle, where family is.
You might be better off there and get more help and services than here.
Some people, thankful for the offer,
will get you the transportation.
Others, not so much.
I wanted to hand this out.
No, thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
John's goal now.
I like that he calls it a reunification when it's just get out of my town.
I'm not quite sure.
He put a pretty big bow on it by saying, if you want to reunify with your family, you know, in your hometown, and reunify instead of get out of here, homeless, smelly homeless. And then now you've got a guy on a plane flight to Seattle from LAX who is fresh off the streets. I mean, I don't want
to
be.
Imagine sitting next to that guy.
That was what I was getting at. I hate to be rude about it, but and other stinky, smelly people. Smelly. Yes.
They left for a reason. And by the way, like, you can say what you want about Southern California and the politics there. You cannot beat the weather. It's the best weather on the planet. It's amazing.
Well, especially if you want to be homeless.
Yes. So if you have to live outside, you'd probably want to live in a nice place like Santa Monica. So I get why they wouldn't want to leave.
Why is Philadelphia so popular?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you've got all the seasons there in Philadelphia, plus all the professional sports teams.
Sure, yeah. 108 degree weather during the summer, and then, negative 10 during the winter. Great.
You know, I think homelessness is everywhere. We down here in Florida, we're the most inhospitable place to live outdoors during the summertime. I mean, during the winter, it's beautiful. But during the summertime, I mean, we don't go outdoors. We try to, you know, limit the amount of time, the humidity and the heat and the bugs.
You still see a lot of homeless people where you're at?
I mean, not my neighborhood, but
yeah, of course. But I mean, like in the greater Orlando area.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Do they wear like Disney memorabilia?
No, they wear like the t-shirts from the loser of the last Super Bowl, which they were donated to them somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. What I'm shocked at is that there is nobody in California, especially protesting this guy. You know, because we know that they could clean their streets up if they wanted to. Xi Jinping makes a trip to San Francisco. Before you know it, there's no diarrhea on the streets. It smells fresh and clean. You can't see a homeless man. I mean, it's like they pressure washed the whole street that he was going, and it was fantastic. And about, 3 weeks after Xi Jinping came and went, we went right back to Doodooville and injecting drugs on the street. So I don't know where they went in the meantime, but it's clear that they have the capability of at least temporarily cleaning it up.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. San Francisco is gross. Do you like that city? Have you been there?
Yes, I've been there.
Yeah.
Long time ago. But yeah, there was homeless there too, but there was no, there's an app for San Francisco where you can find out where human feces is on the street and avoid it.
God, that's awful.
I didn't see any human feces on the street when I was there, but that was quite a long time ago.
While you guys are on the topic of San Francisco, can we move it over to New York? Because Anna had us pull a clip from the LGBT parade. But first, before we get there, I want to show you guys a viral video, D28, that allegedly shows Coney Island. I'm sure you've seen this.
Oh.
But the amount of trash that they're seeing on their beaches now, if you can roll that film.
Yeah. So dutchy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, sad state.
What? I don't get it.
What's that?
Don't all these people like love the dolphins or whatever?
Yeah, you'd think.
So,
that is where is it? Coney Island?
Coney Island.
Yeah, that's what Grok says.
Don't they?
Might be going insane though. So.
Don't they have people for that? It looks like that bad beach in Puerto Rico where all the trash that's tossed off a cruise ship ends up. You know,
yeah.
There's like one particular beach there. Yeah, that's terrible. That is not good at all.
Yeah, that's gross.
And while we're on New York, Anna, did you want to run your footage of the LGBTQ+ parade?
Oh yeah.
Well, can we show this?
Just like this is parade of like the.
This is why people don't like Pride anymore. They know the Pride. It's just.
I don't think I'm ever going to go again for many reasons. I don't like crowds.
You've been to a Pride parade?
Oh, many. Yeah,
you're many.
Just because
okay.
You're just like, yeah, it's fun, and now you know what? I just feel like enough. Like. You've had your time.
I mean, it's devolved into a weird,
demonic, hypersexual.
Yeah, hypersexual. And you used to bring kids there. Now you got
kids.
A guy in leather who's like simulating a sex act with another guy on the bed of a truck. Here's the footage. These people are. Oh
yeah, just.
Oh Lord.
Just what is
the
that?
Problem? Is there so much public nudity? I don't want to let anything slip.
Yeah,
there, so.
You can.
Right. Well, Richard Grenell, who Trump put in charge of the Kennedy Center, got a lot of flack, I think it was last week, by saying that, he doesn't go to Pride anymore because it's devolved. He said normal gays don't go. So he put this delineation of normal gays, which, when you think about it, he's a guy in a suit, government job. He's not in some short gold lamé pants with a halter top on, and a whip in his hand.
That's gratifying himself in public and...
right.
being in like little kiddie pool and it's just weird, fetishy sort of stuff.
That's something that there's a rift that's strongly growing. And I mean, this is completely, you know, anecdotal from people I talk to, but an individual I know owns property here in Philadelphia and was also on the board formerly of the LGBTQ plus, you know, organizations here. And he explained to me what's happening now is a lot of the older gay individuals and lesbians spent so much hard work trying to get to the point where they were believed to be equal that they now see the younger generation, trans individuals and such, trying to take so much further what they already started. And they're seeing people turn on them themselves after working so hard to be accepted that they're like, you guys are entitled. You're taking way too much. You know, we gave you some and you're trying to run with it. It's not what not was our intention.
I look at it like this. The March of Dimes, which is, what is their disease they try to cure now?
March of Dimes. Oh, it's like babies, right? Like,
but it was something else years ago.
Birth defects.
Maybe you have polio or something. I forget what it was. But once that problem was gone.
It was initially for polio. Yeah.
Initially for polio. But once Jonas Salk came around and cured that deal, they're like, okay, we're done. And then the leader's like, wait a second. That means we're all out of a job. Let's find another disease. And I liken that to the LGBTQ because first it was LGB, right? And they fought and they made great strides and made gay marriage legal and things like that. And then they're like, okay, our work here is done. And someone went, wait a second. We're making a lot of money doing this. And let's add someone else, a T and a Q and a two spirit plus and blah, 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 to the point where LGB people are like, we're sorry we invited you to this dance because you've ruined it for us. Now we're all lumped together. And so many gay and lesbian people don't want to play the pronoun game.
They don't want to co-sign on that stuff. Especially, here's the problem where it turned sour for everyone is when they started trying to indoctrinate the children. When they started to do the drag queen
story book hour.
Reading time, story reading. When they were trying to tell people, like, teach third graders about gender identity. You know, I talked to one of my girlfriends, and she's like, my son thinks he's an SUV. Like, should I just tell him that he is? He's a kid. Yeah, so it's outrageous. That's really where it turned sour for them. Nobody cares if you're trans, but don't tell a kid just because she likes to play with a truck that she's a boy now. It's like you're insane.
Right. And we've co-signed onto it as a society to the point where, nobody even notices anymore when a Hollywood, a celebrity pops up and goes, yes, I have three kids and two of them are trans and the other one is non-binary. I mean, statistically, the odds of that happening are absolutely zero.
Right.
Yet you felt you needed to accessorize yourself with a trans kid or two to make you feel, to make you fit in more. And meanwhile, the normal gays are like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Vanilla gays would not be interested in that. I went to Portland, Oregon recently. It was my first time. I went back in March. And listen, I know that like the media hypes a lot of things up. And so I was on my way over there to visit my cousin for his 40th birthday. And I was like, yeah, I bet Portland's not as bad as everyone says. No. It is as advertised. I stood out because I was like dressed
normal,
like a conventional female. And it's hard because you walk around and I'm constantly doing double takes. I'm like, wait, was that cleavage and a beard? Like, what the hell? And I live like pretty close to St. Petersburg, Florida, which is, I think they have the second largest gay pride parade. All the gay guys there are super hot. They would hate Portland, Oregon, because everyone is just this like genderless blob. You know what I mean?
Right. A dress, hairy legs and a beard and boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gross.
I was in Seattle last time I was up in the Northwest years ago, and it was a little bit of that, but more just open drug use and drug sales. Like, I'd walk near the pier, and guys would come up and go, you want some marijuana? And I'm like, I would look around like, is this a sting operation? Because
right. Oh, yeah. No, thanks. I'm good today.
I said, no, thank you. And he handed me a card with his number on it. He said, are you staying here locally in a hotel? I said, yeah. He goes, well, here's my card. Call me if you need some marijuana later. Or anything else for that matter.
Or anything else? What can this guy get for me?
I didn't want to. I thought the whole time I would say, yeah, give me something here or this or whatever. And then the cuffs go on. But apparently I was there the next day. The guy said, hey, let me know if you need anything. All right. Still here.
Wow.
It was open air sale of drugs and the like. Mm. Not something you want to see in your downtown. area.
Certainly not. No way.
Azealia Banks is due, pull off a couple of London festivals, the London's Maiden Voyage Festival and the Boomtown Hampshire Festival in August. She has pulled out of both of them, saying, I'm canceling Boomtown and Maiden Voyage. The promoters have been stressing me out for weeks, trying to force me to say Free Palestine while I'm on stage, and then threatening to cut me off the bill because I won't say Free Palestine. And I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with threats from them, and I'm not going to put on a stinking hijab. So apparently they wanted her to wear a hijab because she was in London, and she said, I'm not saying screw actual Palestine, but screw your dumb slogans and performative stuff. Y'all want to make a stance so bad, but stand for absolutely nothing. As soon as the media says pedophilia is a natural and normal, you bees will be right up there talking about it. She said they're trying to extort me by insinuating I need to say I support Palestine or they'll drop me from the gig. How much of this free Palestine stuff is organic? And how much of it is a fad?
Yeah.
Have you heard this one, though?
This is a good one.
Death to the IDF! Death to the IDF!
That was broadcast on the BBC.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Makes me like Azealia Banks a lot more. Did you know she was the woman, I think, that alleged to have an affair with Dave Chappelle?
Really?
Yeah. A few years ago, she came out and was like, I've been messing around with Dave Chappelle. And as we all know, Dave Chappelle's a happily married man with children. So, yeah, that didn't do him any favors. But, you know, it is what it is.
I mean,
but yeah, she's pretty great. I like Azealia Banks.
She's gorgeous, too.
She said, look, I'm not saying screw Palestine, but screw the slogans. This war's been going on in the background for decades now, way before anyone alive today was born. And all of a sudden, y'all are throwing around words like genocide and Zionist and not even knowing what the meaning of those words are. You drive around in your Teslas and leave comments from your iPhones, all built off the backs of and the blood of children working in mines from dusk till dawn. There's zero ethical consumption under capitalism. Everything is connected to everything. I don't need to be on stage stressing out to appease some dumb protesters who literally rely on these people in Palestine being crushed so they can solicit donations they do not give to the cause. They can kiss my arse.
She's based. Who knew that Azealia Banks was so based?
That's a very refreshing opinion to hear out of a big time star, don't you think?
And I'm very surprised. You know, she's from Brooklyn, and I thought she kind of subscribed to, you know, their cult like ideas. So that's
Dan. What was the name of the punk band that's screaming death to the IDF? Do we know who that was? Here it is. Hold on.
Some Bob Dylan thing, isn't it?
Yeah. You're
what?
Right.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob Villain.
Bob Villain. Yeah.
Villain.
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah. Villain. It's kind of like Dylan. Yeah. They whipped the whole crowd into a frenzy at Glastonbury. And that's a shame. Glastonbury Festival is fantastic. I've been to one in 2006. It's a great time. Wow. And it is, there was nothing political at all. There's no hate. There was no mention of politics. There was no mention of policy or anything political whatsoever. Just people having a good time, enjoying music. Everyone was friends with everybody else. It was no big deal. But now it seems like a prerequisite for you to, if you want to be involved in one of these big festivals, to come out and join. It's like the festival is centered around things like Free Palestine.
Death to the IDF! Death to the IDF!
Yeah, I mean, among other things, it's like, dude, when you go to a concert, the last thing you want to do is talk about politics. That's your escape.
Yes.
You talk about politics. Our job is to talk about politics and be in the know all the time. So it's nice to kind of have that escape sometimes. And then when you go there and then you hear this, you're just like, dude, give me a break.
Yeah, they've destroyed it. The same thing with sports. You go to a football game, there's some cause attached to it or whatever. You got to have the halftime show about whatever, some political cause. And they've ruined it. The last bastion of just going to enjoy some sporting event where even if the fans of the opposing team would be friendly with you because you're there for sport, but all of a sudden we've got to throw a wrench into the works.
In the mix. Yeah.
I hate it.
And their music sucks annoying. Too.
That too.
I don't want to give him any airplay time, but I went and listened to it, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen the South Park episode where Stan starts to get older and everything that sounds new starts to sound like someone farting into a microphone. that's pretty much what I experienced it when I played that. Yeah,
I mean, it's not new. There's an Irish band called Kneecap. They got in trouble during a London show the singer Mo Chara was shouting out Hamas and Hezbollah, saying, up Hamas, up Hezbollah, raising the Hezbollah flag, and then he was arrested under their Terrorism Act.
Well, Europe's demographics have changed in the last
quite a bit and a half.
So,
when we return, a Washington Post journalist has been accused of being in possession of the child pornography. We'll get to that. And I do got to touch on the Bezos wedding and the private jets and all that nonsense and the people that were there. Good. Thank you, Anna. I'm Shannon Burke along with Anna Hummel, Dan Borowski, in for Kale and Company on 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
If you're super rich like Bezos and you've got a hot, you know, girlfriend and you want to marry her, why make such a massive deal out of it and you rent out a city or, you know, Venice is... and you only have 200 people there, but 90 private jets show up. To me, we got to stop this hypocrisy. You know, when Leo DiCaprio shows up at Bezos' wedding in his private jet, I mean, that's climate outrage guy number one. They say that the private jets that attended Bezos' wedding emitted more emissions than all flights leaving one of the world's biggest airports on a single day.
I believe that. They don't know. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So that's pretty obvious there. But you said, like, why would he spend so much money on a wedding? I think it's because he can.
Yeah, I guess.
He can. $50 million is like a drop in the bucket to these people.
But he's out there. You know, he has the, and then a bunch of people that hate him show up to protest. There's a group called No Room for Bezos or something like that. No Space for Bezos.
Yeah. I saw they changed the location of the wedding to on like an island to avoid all the
because the way to get to the older location was through a canal, which this group threatened to fill with inflatable crocodiles that they probably ordered off of Amazon. You know, more
or less. Irony there,
You know, the private jets are responsible for 2% of aviation emissions, they say, and that's pretty well known. But one jet produces the emissions of 177 cars or 9 heavy-duty trucks, and you have 9 of them show up, or 90 of them show up for Bezos' wedding with only 200 guests. You think they could have carpooled or plane pooled?
They could have done, the Uber pool, private jet, but apparently not. Listen, you got to flex your wealth. It like at first when I was reading about the wedding, you know, I'm not really into like celebrity stuff, but to have like Oprah, Mick Jagger, Ivana Trump, Kim Kardashian, Leo DiCaprio, like George Clooney, all these people are at your wedding is kind of insane.
Mick Jagger was there?
Yeah, apparently he was like trying to dance and stuff. But so and Usher is like singing songs and Jewel singing songs and everyone is like an Oscar winner or a Grammy winner. Like it's kind of insane that this was your guest list.
Do you think Bezos and Mick Jagger are friends or like who's going to turn down a wedding invitation for Jeff Bezos in Venice?
Yeah, pretty much no one. I did some research about it and there were a few people that were it seemed a bit salty they didn't get invited. Charlize Theron made a comment somewhere saying that, quote, I think we might be the only people who did not get an invite to Bezos' wedding, but that's okay because they suck and we're cool.
Well said.
Katie Couric on the list of people who didn't get invited to the wedding, also talking trash about Lauren Sanchez's, quote, tacky Dolce & Gabbana gown. So there was some hate there. But yeah, it seems like Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez close out the wedding festivities with a late night bash. Oprah Winfrey tearing it up on the dance floor.
Oh, boy.
So we have Oprah and Gayle King dancing. We hear Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger was also showing off his famous moves. Other big dancers of the night ruling the floor were Kris Jenner and her boyfriend, Tommy Hilfiger and wife Dee Oseleppo. Jerry Seinfeld and his wife were there. Hottie, actress Sydney Sweeney was dancing. Like, it is crazy, the guest list.
Sydney Sweeney got invited. Do you think he knows all these people, or he just knew, I want to get this, you know, Sydney Sweeney, she's hot right now. Mick Jagger, he's from the Rolling, we got to get him there. Or, you invite your friends and family normally to your wedding, but...
Right. Did the family, like, not make the cut? Like, oh, sorry, we had to invite Usher, so... Sorry,
yeah, Mom.
Aunt Barbara, you can't make it.
Usher. We had to get Usher in here, and couldn't
Jessica
do it
Alba, Bill Gates, Brooke Snyder, Ivanka Trump, Stacey Bendent, I don't know who that is. It was kind of crazy. They had, like, themed nights. The last night, the guests wore their finest silk slippers and pajama-inspired looks. Last night was, like, a pajama party. So that's interesting.
That's how billionaires get down, huh? Pajama party.
Yes, yes. And the gifts that they got, black cashmere sweaters, like, it seemed pretty legit.
What do you give Bezos and his bride for a wedding gift? Are they registered somewhere? Or?
I feel like it's just like, just come. Like, what are you going to get me?
An Amazon wish list?
Amazon gift card for you, Jeff.
Shannon, would you wear shorts like Orlando Bloom's wearing in this video by chance?
Let me see.
He was caught here walking through the streets of Venice ahead of the parade. No,
way too short.
With the socks too. Yeah, no.
I like shorts on men.
Do you?
Actually? Yeah. No, I mean, that's not like super short. That's not like 70s short. But yeah, like it when they're like well above the knee.
Well, it's remember the Speedo is coming back for men. The little tight red or whatever color that looks like tight underwear.
Smugglers.
Yeah, won't see me in those at all. by the way, this hour is brought to you by Wawa, who we just got a bunch of Wawas down here. It's Hoagie Fest time. The summer of sandwiches for a limited time. They're mixing it up with hoagies and quesadillas. All the good stuff for under $6. And it's time for a summer of sandwiches and savings. Gotta have a Wawa. I had my first Wawa sandwich a couple of weeks ago. I've never thought of ordering a sandwich from a gas station, but it was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had, and now it's a regular lunchtime provider for me. Thank you, Wawa.
Wawa is my favorite restaurant. Everyone knows this. It's just the best. It has the best coffee, the best food. Always a plentiful amounts of gas pumps. It's just the best. Love Wawa.
I love it.
I'm loading up one more video from this last thing, if you don't mind. It's Lauren Sanchez talking about her dress. I love when these elitists talk about fashion because they try to like portray something different through, I guess, just fabric to a degree. So loading that up right now. Here we go.
It's art, Dan.
Yeah, is that what it is? But then she's saying that she's been through struggles and that this her outfit reflects that. Take a watch.
It's like so emotional.
It's really emotional.
I'm going to be a mess, but in the best possible way. Yeah.
Wow.
And let's talk about the dress.
Just feels like, I don't know, I'm curious everything I've walked through to get here. It's elegant, it's timeless, it's soft. Domenico really
cost $40
million. She just assigned all those adjectives to herself. No, she says, let's talk about the dress. It signifies my long journey to get here. And then she says all those adjectives of...
her long journey to get there. What do you mean? To get to marry one of the richest people in the world?
Carries everything I've walked through to get to this point. It's elegant. It's timeless and it's soft.
What about her dress she wore to the inauguration? Remember that?
Oh, I don't think that was much of a dress. That was the little bustier with the blazer over it. That Zuck
it was chest boob city. That's all it was.
Yeah, it was like cheap lingerie.
Lauren Sanchez wore the best dress at my inauguration. Fantastic, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What were you saying? The same person. I just put two and two together that was Sanchez that wore the boob dress back at the inauguration. National headline.
Everyone said, how tasteless. How dare she? And all the guys are like, hey, she looks fantastic, Jeff. Way to go, buddy. All right, when we return, we'll get to the Washington Post journalist busted with the child pornography. I doubt you'll see it on their, I don't know that they'll report on it.
Their feed, yeah.
And if you're thinking about tourism and a place to go, think Afghanistan. I'm serious about that. We'll cover it next. I'm Shannon Burke along with Anna Hummel and Dan Brodsky in for Kale and Company at 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Philadelphia has got a great tourism It's a great city to visit. And if you never, you know, if you don't live there, obviously. Florida, big tourist attraction. People make their vacation plans centered around, you know, if you're domestic, there's a couple of places to go. Internationally, though, it seems like the vacation potential has just opened wide up.
Sure has.
One place I would never imagine going to is Kabul, Afghanistan.
Oh, what?
But they say...
Spring Break in Kabul.
Yes. There are not only solo travelers, but tour groups that are venturing into a country that was just absolutely racked by war. They're
the Taliban.
Yeah. They're not formally even recognized as a government, the Taliban, by right. any nation at all. They're happy to welcome people. They say the Afghan people are warm and welcoming and wish to host tourists from other countries and engage with them. Cut their heads off in the street. I didn't say that part.
Great beaches in Kabul.
I don't know exactly what there is to see there. And my biggest concern is, you know, women can't go outdoors. So if they do, they have to, you know, they got to be covered head to toe.
A burlap sack, yeah.
Right. And what is vacation without a couple of martinis? You know, I don't think alcohol is not allowed there.
Yeah. I don't think Sharia law allows alcohol. So it's going to be a dry. Maybe you could check out the poppy fields. They're still around. Find out where we cultivate 90% of the world's opium.
When I see the pictures, it looks like it's a beautiful place with some very unique architecture. But it doesn't seem very hospitable to people from the West. Maybe they're not seeking tourists from the West. You know, their visitor numbers aren't really that impressive right now. Mm-hmm. They say 9,000 tourists visited Afghanistan last year. 3,000 people visited Afghanistan for the first 3 months of this year.
I wonder where they're coming from. Like, are they coming from Pakistan?
Some other Krapistan or something like that. They're things are looking good in Afghanistan. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to visit any country, like you said, just to see how they live and their architecture. But to me, you know, I ran the pros and cons in my head, and I just don't see myself, you know, hanging out with the Taliban.
Yeah.
I'm good.
They say there's still some war going on here. They had an attack in May. One of the main tourist attractions called Bamiyan. I don't know. Huh. That's the really good one. Really good tourist attraction.
Yeah, it's a great place.
They're not the only isolationist country looking for tourism dollars. Kim Jong-un has opened up, a water park, a luxury,
It's a huge beachside resort, water parks, high-rise hotels. 20,000 guests are now going to be welcome into this. It's the Wonsan Kalma Coastal Tourist Zone. They unveiled it June 24th, a couple days ago, and they say that they're going to begin service for domestic guests July 1st, but no details further on opening it up for the world.
Aren't they all starving to death? Like,
how many people are willing to go to how many people are willing to go to a country where you may never leave?
So youtube.com/@12WPHD. I love the imagery of a guy on a surfing machine and then Kim Jong-un sitting in his suit as he just points at him. Yeah. Here you go. Like, hey, look at him falling. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, my word. Wow, that's actually kind of...
It is nice.
It is pretty. But I don't know who's going to, you know, remember Otto Warmbier, the poor guy that went there as a tourist, ended up coming back home half dead.
Yeah, that was super sad.
So the leader's there, Rachel Minyoung Lee, she's a non-resident fellow with the 38 North program, says the Wonsan Kalma open to just North Koreans for now. Shouldn't be surprised to see Russians at the resort in the not too distant future. Yeah. So it seems like that would be step number two.
Yeah, if you're a communist hermit country like North Korea, you need other communists to come and visit you. You know, will you be able to book a flight on a domestic airline out of the United States to head there? Nobody wants to go to a place where you could risk staying the rest of your life in a prison.
But to your point, you wouldn't want to see it just out of pure fascination.
I would.
Yeah.
I really would. I'd like to go there to kind of, but you're not going to see, I'm not going to be able to see the things I want to see. Like, take me to the death
lines.
Camps. Yeah.
Let me see where the Uyghurs are being held.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to any obscure places, or do you want to visit some like weird offbeat places that you haven't been before or no?
Not communist countries. No, I have no desire to go to a communist country.
Not necessarily communist, but just anywhere. So I have this, not like a fascination, but I've never met anyone that's ever gone to Papua New Guinea, and I want to go there.
I hear
that sometimes, you know, they kind of, there wasn't any colonization there by the whites, and I believe that's because they practice cannibalism. I think that scared the white people away. But
yeah.
I would
they
like
got Joe
go
Biden's
see.
Uncle, you know.
Yeah.
That's how he went down.
Yeah.
Wasn't like a photographer that pulled off just off coast and they came with the spears and pulled him in? There's a conspiracy
like
that he now lives with
India.
Them, and yeah.
maybe he made friends with them in that area. Like an untouched tribe. Yeah.
Look, I know that these countries need income. You know, we've been feeding Afghanistan. I read, what is it, $18 million a week, $20 million a week, some ridiculous amount of money.
Okay.
It's time they grow up and be, you know, live on their own. I don't know much about North Korea, but I know that the only guy that drinks alcohol there is Kim Jong-un, who has it imported. I think $30,000 a year he spends on booze.
Dennis Rodman, big fan, apparently.
That's right. Remember? I think he only brought Dennis Rodman there to impregnate the North Korean women's basketball team so they could come up with some real pros and actually win something, you know?
Yeah, that was such an odd bromance. Like, who had that on their bingo card? Kim Jong-un and Dennis Rodman.
He's his friend. They say they're friends.
I know. They're like buds.
Everyone needs a little bit of tourism. You know, you can't hold against it for trying to make some dough, right?
Yeah, of course not.
I'm not really... I like to stay locally, you know. Well, not locally, but in the United States if I want to have some vacation time, domestic.
Okay.
In this industry, you don't have too much time to take off 2 weeks at a time. You know, you kind of people forget about you.
But
I've done my fair share of international traveling, but not headed to the Korean Peninsula. That's not going to happen.
How about Detroit? Yeah.
No.
Ew, I lived there for 4 years.
My daughter just started dating a guy whose parents live in the Detroit suburbs, and she's like, I'm going to go to Detroit with my boyfriend's meet his family. I'm like, where do they live, sweetheart? She goes, they live in Detroit. I'm like, oh, do you know much about Detroit? You might want to look it up.
Apparently it's coming back. I did live there for 4 years in the suburbs, and some of the suburbs are nice, but then as soon as you go into the city... I was there about 10 years ago, and so they were gentrifying the downtown, so it was very confusing because you would see, like, a trap house with broken windows right next to a Whole Foods. So it was hard to tell if you were safe or not. Am I safe? Am I not safe?
Soda sopa.
A Whole Foods?
Yeah. I bring up Detroit.
Yeah.
Why do you bring up Detroit?
For many, it wasn't even a question as cash money rained down from a helicopter on Detroit's east side. God. All in a stunning tribute to a man loved by so many, Daryl Thomas, a community pillar known for loving his family, his neighbors, and classic cars. He brought everybody together.
Everybody hopped out their car and started running, man. It was like swimming pool for real.
But it was smooth. It's like it wasn't no chaos about it. You know what I'm saying? People was just like... grabbing it like me. I've been down and got me like $5, but I'm going to put them on my wall at my business and put his name on it. My name is Jonte Smoke.
Smoke is Daryl's son and helped put the money drop into motion, too.
Detroit, y'all might not know who my father was, but he was a great father. Among his community, he was a legend. He blessed everyone, and that was his last blessing to everyone. That's all it was.
The money drop was accompanied by a massive block party celebration honoring Daryl Thomas's life, with several generations of the family represented hanging around the iconic rides he loved so much.
Yeah, cleaning cars, detailing, he used to race a lot, all that.
Most, however, knew Daryl Thomas by his nickname, Plant, and that was a name called out to the heavens time and time again.
What? Many blessings to everyone, and long live Plant.
Long live Plant.
Wow.
Man, they don't have $5,000 in $1 bills from a helicopter.
YouTube.com/@12TNWBG. Great footage of that here. Yeah.
That is amazing. That's like a strip club.
Yeah.
5,000 in ones.
So you happen to see the guy, too, while we were playing the video up here?
Yes.
Where's he at? Yeah.
Right there. Wow, look at his buttocks. It's like almost all of it is hanging out of his top of his pants.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the way Plant would have wanted it, though, I think.
I have to divulge that on my 27th birthday, I went to a strip club on 8 Mile. And let me tell you, it was way better than I expected it was to be. I thought it was going to be pretty ratchet, but it was pretty high class. I was impressed.
High quality?
With what Detroit
yeah.
had to wow. offer. Yeah, yeah, it was good.
When we return, I will get to the Washington Post journalist accused of possessing child pornography. As people are trying to normalize pedophilia as a, you know, a sexual orientation.
Yeah.
And it's only good if you don't act on it, you know. Also, you may be doing something every single day when you meet somebody that is incredible. Well, this lady thinks it's incredibly rude to ask someone you just met. I think it sets the stage for a conversation, but she says you have no idea how rude you are when you ask this everyday question of a new person that you meet. Very interesting stuff. We'll do it next. My name is Shannon Brook. I'm in with Anna Hummel and Dan Borowski for Kale & Company on 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Shannon Brook and Anna Hummel, Dan Borowski, and for Kale & Company, 1210 WPHT. I don't know this guy. He works for the Washington Post. His name is Thomas Pham LeGros. He's a 48-year-old fellow who is their director of video, deputy director of video, part of a team that won a Pulitzer in 2018 covering a U.S. Senate candidate, Roy Moore. So on his work computer, his work laptop, the Attorney General's office found a folder that contained 11 videos of child sexual abuse material. They say fragments of a hard drive were also found in a hallway outside the room. What does that mean? Like he tried to smash it with a hammer, a la Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Fragments of it? Yeah, I don't know. Hard drive?
I don't know.
Smashed? Who knows?
He has been taken into custody. I don't know where the people get tips. They got a tip. They went out and acted on the tip. They found a bunch of mm-hmm. stuff. They also found that I don't know any of this world, but apparently there's a currency platform called eGold, which is hard to trace payments, and that's what they use to buy and sell, I guess.
Oh, like the blockchain, the crypto sort of.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. The Washington Post, though, says we understand this is the severity of these allegations, and we have put Mr. LeGros on leave.
Huh. Not in jail, or? Well, I mean, obviously they can't put him in jail, but.
I would assume that the man has been arrested. They say the journalist was accused of possessing child pornography. Normally, you go right to jail, right? Straight to jail? Right to jail.
Yeah.
Right away.
Now, much like you said, it's kind of the new frontier, right? Once we're done with the trans stuff, the next frontier is the
LGBTQ.
MAPs, the MAPs, the minor attracted persons, right? Isn't that what's coming next, Shannon?
People calmly say that minor attracted persons are normal and that pedophilia is real and it's a sexual orientation instead of a sickness.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't understand
it. We'll see where that lands, everyone. that's scary stuff, man.
Well, obviously,
we're trying to normalize that.
They'd love to normalize it, but as they say, it's okay to be a map or whatever you want to call it, just as long as you don't act upon it. Well, what does that mean? You need to be stimulated by something.
Secretly. Yeah, I don't know.
And there was a lawmaker that suggested child sex dolls be given to pedophiles so that they would be able to take their angst out on a child sex doll, which is extra creepy, Dan, don't you think?
It is creepy. I mean, it's better than the real thing, right? But, I mean, I don't know what you do with these people. Because everyone says, like, you know, if you're gay, that you can't be therapized out of that. Like, that's just who you are and how you're kind of, like, designed, your brain chemistry and whatnot. So I imagine the same is true for people, children. I don't know if there's any amount of therapy that can undo that. And not that I feel, you know, so bad for these people, but it seems to be a pretty horrible affliction if you are attracted to minors. Like, what do you do with that? I don't know.
Yeah, but so is addiction.
And you're like, just castrate me now so I don't do anything dumb.
Yeah, but I mean, so is addiction being a horrible, you know, condition, but we still give addicts, you know, safe injection sites and needles, and I kind of see this as the same thing. Like, why are we enabling these kind of things in society and giving, you know, throwing them a bone, essentially?
The needles, I mean, if they're provided by the government, you know, by taxpayers, I think that's a different issue. But I mean, are these dolls provided by? Are they subsidized?
Well,
they're not,
that was just a suggestion.
Be careful there. I mean,
that was just a suggestion by a lawmaker, and it was quickly rebuffed and found as shocking. And I forget which state it was in. But I don't think you can. You know, you talked about conversion therapy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, obviously, I don't know that it's possible to convert a, I don't think it is. And maybe some people believe in it, maybe some people don't. But there were a bunch of people worried about, like, Rachel Maddow and others worried about the camps that Trump was going to build to put her and her friends in. Remember that comment?
The, like, detention camps for
Gay people.
For gay people. Oh, I didn't even realize. I should have known she was gay, obviously. I just.
Rachel Maddow?
Did she talk about it? Did she talk about it?
Did you just say you didn't know that I was gay?
Well, I mean, like, now that I, like, think about it, but I've never, like, heard her say she was. So she's not top of mind.
Someone asked her once.
Lesbians.
When Trump was running for his first term, if you were to interview Mike Pence, what would you ask him? And she said, "Are you really going to build camps to put my friends and I in?" That was the question she would ask if she had an opportunity.
Babies and other young children.
Oh. She crying?
Yeah.
Oh God.
She's fanning her face.
To at least three.
Oh my God.
Oof. Oof. The graphic of this.
That was she's talking about the kids.
Tender age shelters in South Texas. Lawyers and medical providers.
Here it comes.
Just. I think I'm gonna have to hand this off. Yeah. Sorry.
Nobody cries about that stuff, right? That's insane.
She was worried that her friends were going to be in detention camp because they were gay.
She was crying about kids of migrants in that clip.
Oh, the separating families.
Well, and she goes on there. She says essentially that, you know, they're building these camps for children. Who's to say that we're not next?
Right.
Okay.
We're going to put all of you in a camp. It's a beautiful camp. You're going to love it here. We've got air conditioning and toilets. It's going to be fantastic.
Web in return, I'm going to tell you about something you're doing every time you meet someone new that could be the rudest question you ever ask them.
And Fight Club.
In this woman's opinion. And what?
Fight Club. We'll have a Fight Club today.
Oh, Fight Club.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
New thing on the docket.
Yeah.
We'll do it next. Stick around. I'm Shannon Burke and Anna Hama along with Dan Borowski and for Kale and Company.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.